people seem to understand that that 1849 abortion ban is going to be determined in our Supreme Court. People seem to understand that a fresh look at the maps is likely to come before our Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. They seem to understand that the issues that they care about, that regular people care about, are likely to come in front of this court. And I think that that is what is causing this really heightened sense of engagement in regard to this particular race.
That is Janet Protasiewicz. According to the Associated Press, the projected winner in the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court and flipping the Wisconsin Supreme Court to the liberal side of the majority, I believe the first time in close to 15 years. Very good. Todd Albaugh confirms that, and there's no better source to confirm than with Todd, so we appreciate that.
Just don't ask
that.
Me where he went to school. I mean, so, but I think we have to take a moment, Terry, if yes. we can, just to recognize the historic nature of tonight. I mean, think about this preceded Scott Walker. Think about all the things that have happened since Scott Walker got elected in 2010. And everything that, and this is what Republicans were so concerned about going into this election, that all of these reforms, again, whether you agree with them or not, there were a lot of things done since 2010 in the state. And Republicans and conservatives were fearful that if the liberals took over the court, that would all be, or many parts of it, would be undone. For the other side of it, it's been 15 years in a desert, feeling like they hadn't had a voice, feeling like they hadn't had a chance. And tonight, for the first time in 15 years, the Supreme Court is now going to be, once Janet Protasiewicz is sworn in, the Supreme Court will be in a liberal majority, 4-3.
Absolutely. And speaking of historic, the people of Wisconsin are amending the Wisconsin Constitution on this election day, making it easier for judges to determine conditions for bail. We bring in Brittany Merlot with the details on that. Good evening, Brittany.
Good evening. Yes, they were all just called. We've got all the votes in. The Wisconsin laws have been amended now for question one and two. So as we look at that, question one, the ballot measure defining conditions of release, that came in for 66.6% voted yes, 33.4 voted no. So 60% of the votes are in. That race is called now. That was at 9:01. So that basically means that now a judge can consider serious harm and public safety when setting those conditions of bail. So changing that Wisconsin state amendment there. Now, question number two, cash bail considerations before conviction has been overturned. Vote yes, 67.4 voted yes, 32.6 voted no. So again, amending the state constitution there. And what that will basically mean is they can now have taken into consideration the totality of circumstances when setting that cash bail for those violent crimes. So that's kind of interesting as well. So it's not just limited to that single factor flight risk anymore. And also the welfare benefit requirement, that doesn't change any laws or any amendments or anything, but it is voted yes, 78.5% to 21.4. And that, of course, was looking at the welfare and shall able-bodied childless adults be required to look for work in order to receive that taxpayer money. So really changing things around here in the state of Wisconsin tonight here.
It has been quite an evening so far. Thank you, Brittany Merlot, keeping an eye on the referendums, which have all passed, all three, in resounding fashion. So the people making their voices heard in Wisconsin. We invite Terry Barr to join us soon because she's keeping an eye on mayoral races happening all over Wisconsin. And those are very important in local communities. And they're also serving as a referenda, not only on the incumbents themselves, but some important issues happening in those communities. Terry joins us now. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Terry. Yeah, we've got some in finally in some of our mayoral races that we're watching. I'll start in Madison, where the incumbent Satya is right now. Satya Rhodes Conway is winning with 71% of the total vote in. She is at 54%, Gloria Reyes, her challenger, at 45%. I'll jump over to the Middleton mayor race as well. That one still sits for quite a while at just 25% of the vote in. And again, the Middleton mayor, there is not an incumbent in this race. So we've got Emily Kuhn and Kathy Olson, two women who served on the Middleton City Council over the past couple of years. And right now, again, 25% of the vote in. And Kathy Olson is pulling away, or rather, I should say, Kathy Olson is actually dropping to Emily Kuhn. Emily has 57% of that vote, with Kathy Olson at 42. Racine, Green Bay, Howard, and Stevens Point, very similar to what we watched during the primary in February, where the numbers were pretty slow in all of those. But again, we want to mention that Green Bay mayoral race, many eyes on it because of the extensive spending in this race. The incumbent, Eric Genrich, again, he raised about $200,000 of his own money, some of it coming from the Democratic Party. Chad Weininger, he raised a little bit of money, but in total, more than $1 million spent in the Green Bay mayoral race. And right now, I am waiting, as everyone else is, to see where this is headed. The biggest difference between the two, the incumbent is saying he has a lot of work to finish. This would only be his second term. He only got started on things in this last term. But then you have Chad stepping up, Chad Weininger, the main challenger, who, by the way, won the primary by a 1% vote. He's describing himself as, even though it says it's nonpartisan, he says he's nonpartisan. And he wants to bring everybody in Green Bay together to get rid of divisiveness. Now, because of those two talking and some sparring back and forth, both of them and some of their family members received threats in the last several days, including from other leaders in the Green Bay area, not happy with how this race was going. One of the other races we're watching, Racine Mayor, we have the incumbent here, Corey Mason. He was elected mayor back in 2017. And then Henry Perez, he's been a council alder since 2018. One of the biggest things between these two, Corey Mason wants to revitalize neighborhoods, and he's looking at a new housing plan to make that happen in the Racine area. And Henry Perez, meantime, supports the police department. He's concerned the department hasn't had a working contract for more than 2 years. And be the first thing that he would do. Let's see, we've also got Stevens Point's mayor, and again, still no results in this race. We do have an incumbent though, Mike Meza, and Mike has been 8 years as mayor. He was a former county board supervisor, also another case where we're seeing for affordable housing. And the challenger there is Melissa Johnson. And Melissa retired as the Marathon County Solid Waste Department Director. And she simply touts herself as being someone who has overseen government leadership, budgets, all of the things that she said would be perfect if she could win the race. I think I'm going to take a break here and hand it back over to you, Terry.
Very good.
Keeping an eye on those numbers that still were at zero on at this point.
Yeah, it's funny how from community to community, the votes are counted very differently and at a different rate of speed. So we appreciate all your patience and all your good work, Terry Barr. Melissa Kay is keeping an eye on a very fascinating race for several seats on the Mount Pleasant Village Board, the whole Village Board plus the president. Melissa, what's going on in Mount Pleasant?
Yes, so it looks like that race has been called, Terry. The village voted for Foxconn. They like what the village board is doing. Dave DeGroote won with 53% of the vote, a 4,789 ticket. Kelly Gallagher's 46%. John Hewitt stays in with 56%. Nancy Washburn won over Kim Mahoney, and Ram Batia won over Martinez. So all of the incumbents are staying in. The village has said, we like where this is going, and they appreciate the things that the village has been doing. There's been a lot of improvement in that area with the parks. They've worked to improve the water there. the development, I mean, obviously there were some hurdles along the way with people needing to obviously relocate their homes. But there was a lot of talk too. One of the head developers of that project actually now lives in Wisconsin. He is no longer with the project, but he's written a book. His name is Alan Young. He's a professor of entrepreneurship at UW-Madison there and the former head of the Foxconn project. And he said people need to be patient. They need to be patient with the project as it's going along. So that's what we're going to see in Mount Pleasant here going forward. And then the Outagamie race has also been called for the incumbent Tom Nelson. He won with 26,632 votes at 56% of the vote over his challenger, Kevin Stern. So he will be another term in office, his fourth term.
Very good, Melissa Kay. It sounds like the Mount Pleasant Village Board can proceed with the feeling that they have a mandate from the people.
Yep.
Very good. True. Thank you so much, Melissa Kay, keeping an eye on the Outagamie County Executive Race and the Mount Pleasant Village Board. I believe Chad Holmes is up next with some races from the judicial standpoint. If Chad is ready to go, there he is. Good evening, Chad.
Good evening, Terry. Again, we've been looking at court races and appeals court judge Bill Brash. He is the incumbent, and in Milwaukee County, there's four districts of appeals courts in the state of Wisconsin, and District 1 is Milwaukee County alone. And just want to get the latest numbers on this one. But Bill Brash was well behind his opponent, attorney Sarah Geenan, by about a 67-33 margin at my last report. Let me just take a quick look. And it is with 65% of the precincts reporting Sarah Geenan with 66%, the Bill Brash 34%. You were talking earlier about bench. When you have a 41-year-old liberal going now on to the appeals court, that could be a stepping stone to a future state Supreme Court race, I would think, for Sarah Geenan, proving that most definitely a vote getter up against this incumbent. Again, Bill Brash was appointed by Governor Walker back in 2015. He won a full term, six-year term, unopposed 6 years ago in 2017. But again, in a race where Brash was running as the conservative, another liberal justice winning appeals court District 1. Also been taking a look at some of the other races in terms of circuit judges. In Wood County, a newly created judicial seat saw District Attorney Craig Lambert taking on Wisconsin Rapids Attorney Timothy Giebert, and Giebert won by about a 60-40% margin. In Winnebago County, they have a few votes yet to count, but it's a very tight race right now, within about 100 votes between incumbent Judge Scott Wolt and former Winnebago County Circuit Judge Lakeisha Haas. Cannot call that one yet. In Waukesha County, former State Representative Cody Horlacher has beaten the incumbent judge, Fred Strampy. In Washington County, incumbent judge Ryan J. Hetzel has defeated a challenge from Hartford attorney Russell Jones. In Vernon County, DA Timothy Gaskell has held on to his seat, defeating attorney Angela Lynn Palmer Fisher. There's another handful of races which I was getting numbers on when you called on me, but next time you talk to me, I'll have some more numbers from races in Sheboygan County, Sawyer County, Oneida County, Grant County, and Clark County.
Very good. Chad Holmes, we appreciate all your good work. The ballots are being counted in the special election in the 8th Senate District in southeastern Wisconsin. The Republican has pulled ahead now with 89% of the votes counted. Dan Knodel leads Jody Habish-Sinkin now about 50.5% to 49.5%. Still very close. We have about 11% of the votes left to go. So it was very interesting to see whether in fact the 8 would flip or whether Democrats would simply make a good showing. And that remains to be seen. But right now, a very competitive race for the special Senate district's election that was given up by Alberta Darling, the longtime former Republican state senator from the 8th Senate District. Don Brown is keeping track of things that are happening in Milwaukee. And before I throw it to Don, I just want to say that we anticipate soon Janet Protasiewicz's acceptance speech, and as soon as we get that, we will bring that to you. But in the meantime, we give you Don Brown and returns from the city of Milwaukee.
Thanks, Terry. We've got two very close races in District 1 with 95% of the vote counted. Former state rep David Bowen leads City of Milwaukee Equal Rights Specialist Andrea Pratt by, get this, 34 votes.
Wow. That's,
yeah, 50.52% to 49.48%. So I imagine there may be a recount there. But David Bowen, who would not seek a fourth term with the state assembly due to the passing of his mother, wanted to return to Milwaukee. District 1, the heart of that district is the historic Rufus King neighborhood. 90% of the community is African American, and one of David's reasons for returning was to make Milwaukee to make that district a thriving a Black community again. So he's very committed to that. But again, Andrea Pratt, that's a more than a household name in that district. Her father Marvin was alderman for years, and obviously very established in her own right. So let's see what happens there. Jumping to District 9. With what do I have here? Same thing, 95% of the votes counted. There was a lead change there, actually. Odell Ball, this is the battle of the two educators. Retired teacher Odell Ball has now been surpassed by longtime MPS teacher Laressa Taylor. She leads by 67 votes. That's 51.48% to 48.52%. So, be interesting to see what happens in the next hour with, again, 5% of the votes remaining. And then in the municipal Judge Branch 2 election, Molly Gina continues to hold serve with a 5% lead. That's legal aid attorney Molly Gina over State Senator Lena Turner. And that's with 95% of the vote in. In District 5, not a close race, although 71% of the votes in. Small business entrepreneur Lamont Westmoreland leads city employee Annette Jackson 67.5% to almost 33%. So that one, obviously, a bigger margin of victory. And then there's one race I'd like to jump to. In Waukesha School Board, where there's obviously been a lot of attention regarding the Rainbow Land song, progressive Diane Voigt hangs on, is clinging to that third place spot. There's four candidates running. She's the one candidate, and she's ahead of incumbent Corey Montijo by 382 votes with 93.9% of the votes in. So we'll be paying attention to School District of Waukesha, where we'd like to see a little bit more balance there politically. So that's what we have from here.
Thank you, Don Brown, keeping a track, keep an eye on things that is in the city of Milwaukee and also Waukesha. We understand that Dan Kelly is making a concession speech. We want to take you now to Dan Kelly headquarters.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much for joining me here tonight. It is lovely to see all of you, and it's lovely to see all of you behind the camera all across this beautiful state of Wisconsin. I want to start out by just telling you my deepest gratitude for everything that you've done. I've traveled this state talking about the difference between the rule of law and the rule of Janet, how important it is to conserve our constitutional heritage and why it's so important that we keep that Constitution strong, because that's what protects our liberties. But all I did was have the great good fortune to have numerous conversations with the beautiful people of Wisconsin all over the state. And that was a joy and a blessing to me. And I thank you from the deepest parts of my heart for that. But you, what you did was phenomenal. You made this candidacy sing. You made this a beautiful thing to be a part of. Everywhere I went in Wisconsin, I saw people who were passionate about their Constitution and passionate about their liberties and about the future of this great state of Wisconsin. And I saw some of the most remarkable efforts that I have ever seen to promote and secure that future. And that inspired me like you would not believe. You might know that it is hard to do a statewide campaign. It takes an awful lot out of you, especially for an introvert like me. You know, even for an introvert, I drew so much inspiration and energy from all of you. I saw it in your eyes, how much you care. I saw it in your actions and all the doors that you knocked on, the thousands of phone calls that you made, the postcards that you wrote. And all I could do is say thank you. And it felt so inadequate, because I wanted you to know so much more what this has meant, not just to me, but to my family and for all those who care about the constitutional order. And all I had was those simple words, just thank you. Thank you. And even now, I don't know how to express my gratitude adequately. I'm just so grateful for all of you. Now, this didn't turn out the way that we were looking for. And I think there are a couple of reasons for it, and I think we need to address them head on. And it brings me no joy to say this. I wish that in a circumstance like this, I would be able to concede to a worthy opponent. But I do not have a worthy opponent to which I can concede. This was the most deeply deceitful, dishonorable, despicable campaign I have ever seen run for the courts. It was truly beneath contempt. Now, I say this not because we did not prevail. I do not say this because of the rancid slanders that were launched against me, although that was bad enough. But that is not my concern. My concern is the damage done to the institution of the court. My opponent is a serial liar. She's disregarded judicial ethics. Yep. She's demeaned the judiciary with her behavior. And this is the future that we have to look forward to in Wisconsin. I've been committed to the rule of law my entire career. I understand this to be the most fundamental, basic promise of civilization. And at its heart, it lives in the judiciary, and if not there, nowhere at all. We've had this laid out plainly for us. We could have the rule of law or the rule of Janet. And the people of Wisconsin have chosen the rule of Janet. Now, I respect that decision because it is theirs to make. As I've gone around this great state of ours, everywhere I've gone, I've reminded the people that all the power to create and maintain governments in this state belongs to them. And all the power to decide who sits in the seats created by their constitution belongs to them. And I promised them that I would respect their decision in this race, regardless of what it is. Because that is what a servant does. And so I respect the decision that the people of Wisconsin have made. But I think this does not end well. Now, as I look forward, I hope it does end well. This has been a beautiful, beautiful life here in Wisconsin with all of you. And I wish Wisconsin the best of luck, because I think it's going to need it. Thank you.
Dan Kelly, the candidate who lost the Wisconsin Supreme Court race today, and a most unusual concession speech. Maureen Shepherd, usually the campaign stops once the votes are counted. Have you heard a concession speech, anything like this, ever before?
Maybe in an episode of Deadwood. that would be it. I need time to process this. This was a scorched earth concession speech. I don't even think it qualifies as a concession speech. It's going to take time to sort of process this. There was nothing gracious about it. He called, once again, that the campaign was despicable. Basically, she was unfit for office, that she would destroy the legal institutions here in Wisconsin. It was the speech. I won't even call it a concession speech. The speech was full of anger. A man who was very hurt in terms of, once again, in loss. So,
Todd Albaugh.
I've been in politics for over 30 years in the state of Wisconsin, primarily on the Republican side up until 2011 when I left the party. I have never heard a concession speech, and again, to Maurice's point, I'm not sure you could call that. I've never heard a speech after losing an election like that. I've lost two myself, by the way, for state assembly. And Maurice is right. Traditionally, it's a concession speech. You try to be gracious, or you try to be brief, or both. This was neither, I guess, slightly brief. Here's the quote. Quote, "I do not have a worthy opponent which I can concede," unquote. Dan Kelly said that tonight. He said, "My opponent is a serial liar," unquote. But he did say this. I guess if there's anything I can say about it, unlike former President Trump or others, former Governor Scott Walker, who chose not even to concede on election night or thereafter, at least Dan Kelly said, quote, "I respect the decision," meaning of the people of Wisconsin. So at least he did come out. At least he did give a speech. He admitted he's going to abide by the wishes of the Wisconsin voter. But as you said, Terry, normally the campaign ends after the votes are counted. Clearly tonight, that did not happen. And I think this is, you've hit on this earlier tonight. This race for the 8th Senate seat down in outside of Milwaukee, north of Milwaukee, it just became a whole lot more important. Because you mentioned this earlier tonight about the rumors, the rumblings in the building, as we call it, the state capitol, that if the Republican, Dan Canodal, wins tonight in the 8th, that would give Republicans a supermajority, a two-thirds vote in the state Senate. I will tell you, in my reporting this week, I have this confirmed. I'm not going to say what Republican it is. There is a Republican member of the legislature that was called to Governor Tony Evers' office in the last 3 weeks. And before the door even shut, the governor looked at this Republican member of the legislature and said, "So are you guys going to impeach me or not?" And this Republican member of the legislature, they hadn't even heard this yet. But it is a real thing. The Republicans of this state, as I said before, this election of Janet Protasiewicz puts in jeopardy everything that they have, or most, I don't want to oversell it, many of the things that Republicans have done since Scott Walker became governor in 2010. They're not going to let this go lightly. And if Dan Canola wins tonight, I think there is a very real possibility that we could see an attempt to impeach constitutional officers and perhaps other judges in the state of Wisconsin. What Dan Kelly did tonight sent a warning flag up that, as you said, Terry, this is not all, the race is over for Supreme Court, but the fight is going to continue on the Republican side.
An historic night in many ways, some expected, others very surprising. We will take a break here on the Civic Media Network of radio stations, and our election night coverage continues right after these words. An historic election in Wisconsin. Janet Protasiewicz flips the Wisconsin Supreme Court liberal for the first time in 15 years. The race has been called with the votes counted, 70% of the votes counted, 56% for Protasiewicz, about 44% for Dan Kelly. But according to AP and those who follow these races, Dan Kelly has no path to victory. In fact, he gave one of the most unusual concession speeches any of us in this broadcast can ever remember hearing. Todd Albaugh and Maurice Shepard, I'll throw it back to you one more time for your reading into what this could possibly mean. Was this a raw emotion, or was this calculated, maybe?
I think it was raw emotion. I will give Dan Kelly the I'll just say it was raw emotion at this point.
Very
this
good.
This is the second bite at the apple, and it didn't work.
We'll leave it at that because Janet Protasiewicz is about to make her acceptance speech. We'll go live to Protasiewicz headquarters.
Judge Janet's walking to the podium right now, Terry, through a sea of people. It is blue, her campaign colors, people waving flags. Judge Janet dressed in a fantastic blue and white top today, matching her campaign colors. Looks happy, looks relieved probably, and she is one big tonight.
And it's going to take her a minute or two to get through the crowd of supporters there up with her on the stage. Although it sounds like it appears as though it may be time for her to say her piece.
To celebrate this wonderful victory. Today's results have been over a year in the making. I've been traveling this entire state for the last year. Yeah. I could not have done it without the hard work and dedication of all of you right here in this room. Just over a year ago, I got into this race. I made the decision because I saw that Wisconsinites were ready for common sense and fairness on their Supreme Court. Thank you, Kathy. They were ready to put aside the partisanship and put aside the extremism and to have an impartial court. In a court that makes decisions based on the law, not on a political agenda. Yeah. Look at you, Sue, not in blue. My career and my community has really prepared me for this evening tonight. I was born and raised nearby on the south side of Milwaukee to hardworking parents. I went to UWM on the U bus. I went to Marquette Law School and I worked my way through college. As a waitress, guess where? None other than Mark's home of the big boy Point Loomis. Throughout my career, I've seen our judicial system up close. And I believe in something that is universal to Wisconsinites all across our state. And that is that everyone should get a fair shot to demand justice and not feel like the thumb is on the scale against them. I care deeply about this state. It has been my home my entire life. And I care deeply about all of you, the people of the state of Wisconsin.
We love you.
You are the only client I have ever served throughout my 35-year career in the law. The people of Wisconsin expected and deserve more from their Supreme Court. Of course, I want to thank all of the volunteers and supporters in every corner of Wisconsin. And I've been to every corner of Wisconsin. And you have made today's victory possible. From the thousands of door knocks, and I know you've done door knocks, to the phone calls, to the conversations with your friends and neighbors, and all of your efforts to get out the vote, they were all worth it and proved just how unstoppable our campaign was. I want to thank my incredible staff, led by my campaign manager, Alejandro Verdín. Alejandro, are you here? General Consultant Patrick, where are you? Patrick Rossi. It is risky when you thank the rest of your staff because we have quite a large staff because you're fearful you're going to miss someone, but I'm going to try anyway. Where's Sam Recker? Sam? Straight ahead. Sam Recker is utterly amazing. He's our communications director. Where's Sam Langheim? Sam was the finance director. Sam gets tired of me telling this story, but I'd say about a month ago, we started in Milwaukee. Then we did two stops, and we had this rented Suburban that didn't, have windshield wiper fluid in it. I was running a little low on gas, and then we did two stops in Madison, and then we drove to Hudson, and then we drove to Rice Lake, Jane Carroll, and then we drove to Superior. And by the time we got to Superior, Sam said, "I've had it." And I said, "Okay, give me the keys to that Suburban. I'm going to go out and get a bite to eat." Well, I couldn't see. The vehicle had no gas. The next thing I knew, I was on a big bridge, and I was in Duluth, Minnesota. And I called Sam and I said, "We have a problem." And he said, "Did you crack up the car?" I said, "No." He's like, "Well, then it's not that bad." I said, "Well, you need to Uber out here and drive me back." And he did with no complaints. He's been wonderful. And Sam. Where's Marshall? Marshall Cohen. Marshall's amazing. He was with me 10 years ago. He's in Washington, D.C. now. He's been helping me. A mastermind, a political mastermind who helped with the messaging and any political questions I ever had. Sachin. Sachin, are you in here? Sachin Chaitta. We had field organizers all over the state. Best of the best was Simon. You probably got all sorts of text messages from us asking you to do things for us. You can thank Jacob right over here for all of those. Jacob and Neil. I would be remiss if I failed to mention Julia and Joyce and Carly and Allison and Jackie and Morgan, who must think I'm 22 years old with the schedule that she set up for me, that she did all of that. And then the brains behind our television commercials, Ben Knuckles, where are you? Ben Knuckles. So it was quite a team. I cannot imagine that we could have had a better team to weather this campaign. I also want to thank my wonderful husband, Greg. He's been by my side through the ups and downs of this campaign.
And my name's not Randy Nass.
His name's not Randy Nass.
All right.
So Janet Protasiewicz, thanking a lot of the people on her staff, taking a bit of time doing that. No response to Dan Kelly's words. It'll be interesting to see what she has to say about Dan Kelly's rather unique concession speech. Maybe yet tonight, maybe in the days to come. Who knows?
Terry, do you want to take just a minute here? We have a call apparently in the Madison mayoral race. We have Sasha Sunway Rhodes Conway giving a quick speech. You want her victory speech tonight? Here's just a couple of minutes of the mayoral race in Madison.
Working for the city of Madison every day. I couldn't do it without you, babe. Oh. I want to thank my campaign manager, Alec, and everybody. Volunteered, who canvassed, did events for me, everybody who endorsed my reelection campaign, thank you all. You are all a part of it. I'm really proud of the work that we've done over the past 4 years, and I am absolutely committed to working for our community for the next four. We're going to continue to prioritize public safety, housing, fighting the climate crisis, equitable economic development, and investing in our young people. I'm looking forward to using the new South Madison TIF district to invest in home ownership and economic development, to building the state's first purpose-built homeless shelters in our community, to better connect folks with housing. I'm looking forward to working with the school district. Thank you, Ali, for being here to support our young people and to hire a new superintendent. I'm looking forward to expanding the Madison Cares program and to supporting the county's efforts to build a new triage center for folks experiencing mental health crises.
So there you go, Terry. There was Madison Mayor Sasha Rhodes Conway, elected to another four-year term as the City of Madison Mayor. She was defeated former Deputy Mayor Gloria Reyes here in the City of Madison. But to get back to the other race, the main race of the night, Terry, as you said, did not answer Dan Kelly's throwdown, if you want to say that, after his speech tonight. Here was the quote that stuck out to me in Janet Protasiewicz's victory speech tonight. She said, you're the only client I've ever worked for in my 34 years in the law, or my, pardon me, 35 years in the law. I think it's a little veiled reference to the fact that Dan Kelly was on the payroll of the Wisconsin and National Republican Party, accepting $120,000 over the last few months. It was directly linked to advising on the 2020 election and trying to see how they could skirt around and suppress the vote or overturn the vote. So I think that was kind of a veiled reference to that. But, overall, a much more positive victory speech from Janet Protasiewicz tonight. And as she said, as happened. happens. She got a little bit caught up in thanking all of her people.
For sure. There is another race, and we'll have more details on this in a few minutes, but Tom Nelson is declaring victory in the race for Outagamie County Executive. We'll have more on that in a bit, and more of the races that have still yet to be called as Civic Media's coverage of Election Night continues right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
A New York state court already suspended Giuliani's law license.
Yes.
Still a lawyer as of today. During several hours of virtual testimony on Monday and Tuesday, Giuliani pulls back the sleeve and he noted to himself, "Why, I'm wearing two watches." I mean, I've done some absent-minded things, Tom, but I've never in my life worn two watches.
Oh, come on, man. He's an attorney. That way you can bill twice as much.
Want even more? Go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Buck Tussle is proud to be the major sponsor on Civic Media for the biggest spring election being followed all over America. Buck Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Call today, 877-227-0924.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 1 a.m. this morning. Cloudy overnight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 50. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Cloudy skies expected. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 28. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 53 degrees.
Election Night coverage continues on your Civic Media Network radio station. Janet Protasiewicz, the next member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. All three referenda on the statewide ballots pass, and it looks like a Republican Dan Knodel with a narrow lead over Democrat Jody Habersinkin in the special election in north of Milwaukee for the seat given up by longtime Republican Senator Alberta Darling. Not only all of this happening politically tonight, but in many parts of Wisconsin, it has been a stormy night, and hopefully not dangerously so. With details on that, one of our Election Night correspondents also happens to be a meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Yes, thank you so much. So we've got a severe thunderstorm warning in effect right now. It is crossing over the border of Illinois into Wisconsin. So Greene County and northwestern Rock County, you are in this warning until 10:30 tonight. This storm has reports from storm spotters of golf ball size hail. You do not want to be in your car when that comes through. You want to be in somewhere sheltered, away from windows that can knock out windows as well. Plus, the storm is packing 60 mile per hour wind gusts with it too. So what that means is we could see some potential power outages, trees coming down, From all the rain we already saw on Friday, that ground is very wet and saturated, so it allows those trees to even uproot as well. So keep that in mind. Stay somewhere inside interior rooms as well. And of course, this is going to be moving northeast at 60 miles per hour, and it is headed towards Monroe, Edgerton, Evansville, Monticello. Now, if this storm holds its strength, it's going to move just east of Madison towards Lake Mills. So keep that in mind. Meanwhile, we're still seeing strong storms striking all the way from La Crosse up to Wausau, through the Fox Valley, and into Green Bay as well. Now, just north of that, it is changing from rain to freezing rain in Tomahawk, Rhinelander area. So these places are going to see icy road conditions as well, as we have this very warm air mass colliding with the very cold air mass. So keep this in mind. Stay weather savvy.
Very good. Thank you, Brittany, for keeping us apprised of all that. Tom Nelson has declared victory in the race for Outagamie County Executive, and Melissa Kay is standing by with details. Melissa.
Yes, so we haven't seen the official results yet, but I must have had a crystal ball when I called it earlier, because the percentages are still the same. Tom Nelson has 56% of the vote, and Kevin Stern came in with 44%. So Tom's won with almost 5,800 votes ahead of Kevin. It seems that the people there are happy with things that are happening in the county. The airport things that are happening there are really great. They are making very expansions. The plans are in place, and Tom wants to see those through. So that is one thing that he really ran on strongly. And people don't like that sales tax. He vetoed it. The board voted it back in. But he also has spoken for the people who don't want more taxes to pay for taxes they already pay for.
Very good. Melissa Kay declaring, and we have a winner in the Outagamie County Executive race. Tom Nelson wins another term in office. A lot of other local races. Terry Barr keeping an eye in particular on mayoral races. We just heard from Satya Rhodes Conway, who has been declared the winner of the race for Madison Mayor. And Terry is here with more details on that and other races. Terry.
Hi, Terry. I sure am. And as you mentioned, yes, Mayor, we now know that Satya Rhodes Conway, the incumbent, will continue on for another term. We're finally getting a few other evening. Middleton's numbers are at a little more than 75%, but there was not an incumbent that chose to run again. He is going back into the private sector. We had two women from the city council running against each other. Emily Kuhn, though, is running away with this one at 57% of the vote. In Racine, I know that there's been some reports of some results, but I'm looking at the official from Racine County numbers, very much like what happened to us in February, where Racine did not report the numbers until very close to the deadline, which is midnight. Right now, those Racine numbers for the Racine mayor race show zero if you look at their official numbers. We've got Green Bay. Those numbers we are still waiting to hear. And of course, that's the very expensive race in Northeast Wisconsin, and closely watching that. However, also in Brown County, Howard, a fast growing area of Brown County, those numbers are now totally in, and the incumbent, Bert McIntyre, he will win now a fourth term in Howard. We are also looking for some numbers in the Stevens Point race, but we are also sitting there with not much to tell you. There's an incumbent in the race who has already been the mayor for 8 years, former county board supervisor. He would like to continue working on housing, again, saying, as we've heard from many mayors in these situations, that housing is just not affordable. Running against Melissa Johnson. Melissa retired as Marathon County's solid waste department director, but says she's got so much experience at both federal, county, and state levels dealing with budgets and leadership that she would be the right person. So, yeah, Terry, it's one of those, again, where we're kind of at that halfway point. We've got a couple that are done and a couple that are at a big fat goose egg right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's just the nature of the beast on election night. Terry Barr, thank you so much for all your work tonight. We just have a minute, gentlemen. Todd, Maurice, any thoughts before we send it to the break at 10 o'clock?
The only thing I'll say is that for Dan Kelly's what was a concession speech, it goes against tradition that while it's not required, it's supposed to signal the peaceful transfer of power. And his speech was anything but that. Thank you.
Defiant would probably be the most diplomatic word I can think of.
I agree with Maurice. It was... of all the speeches out there, it was one of them. I mean, it was something else, that's for sure. I think, in all seriousness, though, it shows a great job by the Democratic Party, the state of Wisconsin, and the Proto Sandwich campaign to stitch this together from a fundraising standpoint. Let Republicans be put on notice today. Brian Schimming, the chair of the Republican Party, Democrats aren't here to play softball anymore. They're going to play hardball. Tonight, they did it. Janet Proto Sandwich wins. We'll see what happens next.
You're listening to Election Night coverage on your local Civic Media radio station.